Today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Dalid. We left off in daf Mem Gimel and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Josh and Michelle Perel Lezecher Nishmas Daniel Moshe Ben Harav Yisrael Aryeh, and is also sponsored once again by Avishai and Elisheva Newman Lezchus Rufus Shlema for Chaim Naftali Ben Frumit Freda, as well as for Sarah Freda Bas Chaya. We are holding on daf Mem Gimel and Beis. We're not all the way down the page. We're about less than halfway down the page. We are at Omar Shmuel. So the Gemara is going to spend from here until the end of the parak, really, until Mem Dalet Amud Beis, discussing this one chiddush of Shmuel, where Shmuel is mechadesh that even if a cheap mashkon is lost, it's treated as if it was worth the entire chov. So if a person lends to someone $1,000, he takes a mashkon back that's worth $10, he loses the mashkon, the whole chov is cancelled based on that mashkon. That is the great chiddush of Shmuel. So the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly are the circumstances of Shmuel's chiddush. Maybe Shmuel's chiddush is a machlokas tanayim. And then the Gemara is going to have on top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, going over to Mem Dalet Amud Beis, four different explanations of a different machlokas tanayim, whether a malva who loses the mashkon can swear that it was lost and still get paid. And one of the explanations of what that machlokas tanayim is about is maybe they're arguing about this very din of Shmuel. So we're going to have four different explanations of that machlokas, but the reason we bring that machlokas up is because it relates back to Shmuel, and we suggest that maybe that is the machlokas of Shmuel. Then the Gemara is going to try to show that the machlokas tanaim, whether shmita is meshamet alone that has a mashkon, is also machlokas tanaim about the din of Shmuel. So we have several machlokas tanaim that we try to hang on this din of Shmuel, and we reject all of them. We point out that really the tanaim are not arguing about the din of Shmuel. And then, Bez Hashem, we will begin the seventh parak of Masecha Shavuos, where the Mishnah, we're not going to do the whole first Mishnah because it goes all the way into halfway through tomorrow's daf, but the Mishnah is going to discuss. We've been talking about lots of different types of Shavuos. Normally, when there's a chi of Shavua in the Torah, it's Nishbatan v'lo Mishalmin. You swear so that you don't have to pay. But we're going to have five examples of Shavuos midrabanan that are Nishbatan v'notlin, that the person who wants to get paid takes the Shavua, and he is notel because of that Shavua. And the Mishnah is going to elaborate on the five different cases where the Rabbanan were Mesakein, that one is Nishbatan v'notlin, that a person could take a Shavua and get paid on account of his Shavua. So let's begin with Shmuel. We are holding again. First word in line is HaPikadon on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the second word of the line, Amar Shmuel. A guy lends someone $1,000, and he takes back from him a handle of some sort of tool. He takes back from something that's not worth nearly $1,000, some sort of cheaper mashkon. Avad kasa de magla, avad alfa zuze. If he loses that kasa de magla, that's it. He lost out on his $1,000. That was considered to be the payment for the loan, and he could no longer get paid for the loan. Aval tarti katasi lo. But if he would have taken back two cheaper items, two such handles, then we would not assume that he loses the whole loan. As Rashi explains, lo aminu chada kabil b'chamesh me'ah v'chada b'chamesh me'ah. We don't assume that he took back two, one for the first $500 of the loan and the other for the next $500 of the loan. V'yavad chada minayi lo livsud chamesh me'ah. The lo parish chada b'palga v'chada b'palga. Because he never said explicitly, I'm taking these two items, one of them for half the loan, the other for the other half of the loan. No, so what do we assume is das was when he took these two items? El travayu kablinu b'chada b'mashkono v'lo b'piraon. These are taken as a mashkon, not as a payment. V'kivin d'mahadilei mitzos mashkonos b'may d'chasr minei pater nafshe b'tashlum yishavyo. So if, as long as he can give back part of the mashkon, the rest of the mashkon he just has to reimburse its value. And then he can still get paid back the entire loan. So that's the halacha if he takes two handles. But if he would take only one handle, then we view that as payment for the entire loan. Rav Nachman amar afilu tarti katasi avad chad avad chamish mea avad idach avad kulei. Rav Nachman says, no, even if he took two such cheap items, we assume that he took them to equal the entire loan. That one is for 500, the other is for the other 500. If he loses one of them, he loses $500 of the loan. If he loses both of them, he loses the entire loan. Aval kasa v'nascha, lo. But let's say he takes one handle, one cheaper item, and one nascha, piece of silver, which normally would be used for payment of the loan. So that would be a different story. If it was kasa v'nascha, so then we don't assume it's 500 and 500, because nascha would be used to pay back a loan, but a kasa would not be used to pay back a loan. And then nahardai amri even further. Afilu kasa v'nascha, avad nascha, avad palga, avad kasa, avad kulei. That even if it's kasa v'nascha, each one is viewed to be for half of the loan. If he loses one, he loses half of the loan. He loses the other, he loses the other half of the loan. So even though this din, that if you take a mashkon and you lose the mashkon, you lost the entire loan, is the din of Shmuel. Shmuel is actually the least severe, the least dramatic in his presentation of this halacha. It's elaborated on and built upon by Rav Nachman and by Nahardai even further, where Rav Nachman says even two kasas is considered the whole loan. And Nahardai say even kasa v'nascha is considered connected the whole loan. But the basic idea that when you take a mashkon, you're taking the full payment for the loan, that is the basic din of Shmuel. Now there is a machlokas rishonim. Is that only when he if the mashkon is lost through an aveda, kneva v'aveda, something like that? What if the mashkon is lost through an ones? Do we say then, well, then it's not my fault? You know, I took the mashkon, but it was an absolute ones. You know, lightning struck, something crazy happened, and the mashkon is gone. So maybe then I shouldn't lose the chov? Or no? Maybe so long as you're not able to produce the mashkon, you lose the chov. It doesn't make a difference whether it's an ones or not an ones. So the Rov Rishonim, Tosfos, and Daf Mem Dalet, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Rov Rishonim hold that if it was an ones, you don't lose your chov. That Shmuel is only talking about where it was a Gnev Aveda, that type of thing, but if it was an ones, you don't lose your chov. However, the Rashba quotes another Shita, and Magmisha quotes this as well, that even if it was an ones, he loses his chov. And in explaining that Shita, the Rashba writes, Al Das Ken Kiblo Malva, that the Malva was Makabel, Al Das, that the chov, that he can never be Tovea the chov until he gives back the Mashkon. Meaning the whole idea of a mashkon is, as soon as I return the mashkon, that's when I can start asking for my money back. So it doesn't make a difference why I can't return the mashkon. I can't ask for the money back until I return the mashkon, even if it was an ones. What about the other shita? So the Rashba explains, the other shita holds, no, that al das kein kiblo amalva, that if I fail to be shomer the mashkon appropriately, I can't be tovea the chov. Not if I don't return the mashkon. If I fail to be shomer it appropriately, so I may have been shomer it from Igneva Aveda, which is a very high level of shmirah, but there's no shmirah from onsim. I couldn't have been shomer. I was shomer it properly. I couldn't have been shomer it any better. And therefore, I'm allowed to be towing the chov. However, the Ramban explains that shita, that the malve is only mekabel on himself, that if he loses it, he's going to be chayiv to be mishalim like a shomer sachar. So he'll pay as if the mashkon was keneged kol achov, and mele he loses the entire chov. So if it's nenas, so he has no chiv to pay for the mashkon at all, so he doesn't lose the chov at all. So he says, based on that, a maval mashkon is, according to the shita, that a maval mashkon is only a shomer chinam, so then it would turn out that only if he's posheya, he loses the chov. Meaning if you assume that it's about whatever his level of chiv shmira is, so then you really have to look at what is the level of a chiv shmira for a maval mashkon. If it's a shomer sachar, so good, he has to be shomer migneh v'aveda, but if you view him as a shomer chinam, then he only has to be shomer to the level where it's not a pshia, and that lechora would be good enough. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Now that we have this din of Shmuel, that you have this idea that when a mashkon is given, so that's keneged the entire chov. So now Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, we have this dispute. There was a mashkon, it was lost, and there is a dispute. How much was that mashkon worth? Sela hivlisi chalav v'shekel hayashava. I lent you a sela, but the mashkon was worth a shekel. V'alo omer lo ki ala sela hivlisani alav ushlo shedinarim hayashava. But the lova says, no, you lent me a sela, but the mashkon I gave you back was worth more than a shekel. It was worth shlosha dinarin. It was not worth half of the amount of the loan. It was worth three quarters of the amount of the loan. So then chayiv, that's considered a modeh b'miktzas, and he's going to be chayiv to take a shvua. But why? Says Gemara, if you say like Shmuel, lemalei hakibalte, shouldn't he say, well, once you took the mashkon, it doesn't make a difference what it was worth? The mashkon automatically has the status of something that's worth the entire chov, and therefore you lose everything? Why should it matter? matter whether how much he's actually moda that it was worth or how much they're claiming it was worth. It could have been worth a dollar and it's worth, and losing it makes the malva lose the rights to the entire chov. The Mishnah is talking about where they explicitly say at the time that we're giving the mashkon that this mashkon is not meant to be keneged kol achov, that this mashkon is only meant to be keneged shavyo. But Shmuel is talking about where you don't say anything. The natural assumption, Shmuel says, is that the mashkon is keneged kol hachov, which is pretty interesting, that without saying anything, I give a $2 mashkon for a $1,000 loan. The natural assumption is it's keneged kol hachov. Tosov here quotes Rabbeinu Hananel's Gores Ibcha, and V'chein Rabbeinu Tam, Umuki de Shmuel bidaparish, de ein svara lahafsin lamalva kol chova lagamri hecha de lo parish. Tosov says, in name Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Hananel, not mistaver, that you have to think to say such a thing. You have to say at the time that you're giving a $2 mashkon, that this mashkon is not going to be worth the entire chov, that it's on the malva to make such an explicit stipulation. No, adrabba, if you want to say that your $2 mashkon is going to be worth $1,000 as far as this transaction goes, that's what you have to say. That you have to be poresh. Otherwise, that you have to be mefarish rather. Otherwise, we're going to naturally assume it's worth $2 of the chov. It's not worth $1,000 of the chov. So that's the girsa in the opposite direction that Tosos has. Says the Gemara, maybe this whole din of Shmuel lema kitanai is really subject to machlokas tanaim, and we're about to quote a machlokas tanaim, machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to have four suggestions of what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about. The first of those four suggestions is that they're arguing about this very din of Shmuel. So amalva es chavera al mashkon va'avad mashkon. Someone lends someone else money with a mashkon, and then he loses the mashkon. So yeshava v'yitol esmos of divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says he swears and he gets paid whatever else the malva swears that he lost the mashkon, and then he gets paid whatever else he's the difference between the value of the mashkon and the value of the loan was. So it was a $2 mashkon, it was a $1,000 loan. He swears he gets paid his $998. Rabbi Akiva Omer yachalu sheyomer lo klumel visani ela al mashkon. Avad HaMashkon, Avad HaMosecha. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the Lova could say, I gave you a Mashkon, and the point is, you're not allowed to be Toveh me until you return the Mashkon. You lost the Mashkon, that's it, you lost all $1,000. Aval HaMalva Elevzuz Bishtar. But had he lent the money with a shtar, v'niach mashkon biyado, and then in addition to the shtar, he also gave a mashkon, then divrei akol avad mashkon avad mosav. Then everyone would say, if you lose the mashkon is meant to be keneged the entire value of the loan. But heichidami, going back to the case where there's a machlokas, where there's no shtar, it's just a mashkon. And you have this machlokas where Rabbi Elazar says that you can still collect the difference, and Rabbi Kiva says, no, you lost the mashkon, you lost everything. So what's the case? Eid shavi shir zuzei, my time at Rabbi Elazar. If the mashkon is actually worth the full $1,000, then what's Rabbi Elazar talking about? That you're going to take a shavua and you collect the difference, you collect the money? How could you collect the money? You lost something that's worth the entire value of the chov. Ah, so it must be elav b'delo shavi shir zuzei. The mashkon's worth $2. The loan was $1,000. Ubid Shmuel kamiflagi, and they're arguing about the very din of Shmuel, that when you have a mashkon that's worth less than the chov, do we say that when you lose that mashkon, you lose the entire chov? Rabbi Kiva says yes, and Rabbi Elazar says no. So says Gemara, that's one possibility, that this din of Shmuel is actually a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva, and it would turn out that Shmuel is at least on the right side of the machlokas. He would be paskening like Rabbi Akiva. Generally, we don't pasken like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Shemuta, he was from the Talmidei Beis Shammai, but still, we don't want to say that Shmuel came up with on his own, that we attribute to Shmuel, is really a din of Rabbi Akiva, that it's a subject to a machlokas tanaim. And as Rashi explains the machlokas, as we explained, but Shmuel kamifki Rabbi Elazar lesley de Shmuel de mashkon sheino shav kol chovei not the makabel zikaron devarim, that Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Shmuel because he holds that when the mashkon is worth less than the value of the chov, it's just taken as a way to remember that there's a loan over here. Hilkach shomer chinam u'alav, and therefore you're simply a shomer chinam v'yishava shelo pashav sheino brushusav. So all you have to do is swear that you weren't posheya, and therefore you could take not the difference, you could take all of the money. You could take all of the value of it. Rabbi Kiva k'shmol svirulei, and Rabbi Kiva holds like Shmuel, shelishem mashkon kiblo, that it wasn't lizikaron devarim, just to remember that there's a chov over here. No, this was as a mashkon to replace the chov. Aval hilvo elav zuz b'shtar, but had it been b'shtar, then afilir b'lozer modusha mashkon shkibla achareken l'shem mashkon kiblo, sharein etzarech lizikaron devarim, shashtar lo l'raya. Meaning this explains, Rashi says, why it is that when there's a shtar, all of a sudden everyone agrees that the mashkon is going to be kenega the entire chov, even if it's worth less than the chov. Because the only alternative is to say that the mashkon is not meant kenega the chov, it's meant as a zikaron dvarim, to remember that there's a loan. But if there's a shtar, you don't need a zikaron dvarim. Of course there's a loan. There's a shtar to certify that there's a loan. So the only other explanation of what the mashkon is here for is that it's meant to correspond to the chov, even though in reality it's worth so much less than the chov. And that's why everyone agrees in a case where there is a shtar that it's keneged kalachov. So that is explanation number one of what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva are arguing about, that they're arguing about the din of Shmuel. Says Gemara, lo. That is incorrect. B'dolo shavi, kuli amaleslu de Shmuel. If the mashkon is not worth the amount of the chov, then enochinami, no one would hold of Shmuel. No one would say that losing the mashkon makes the malva lose out on the entire chov. Rather, they're arguing about a second possibility, what they're arguing about. Vahacha, b'deshavi shir zuzei. Over here, we're talking about where the mashkon was worth the full $1,000. You lose the mashkon, machlokas, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Kiva, whether you could still collect your $1,000. What's the machlokas? You lost the mashkon, you lost something worth $1,000. You owe the guy $1,000. Ubid Rabbi Yitzchak kamiflagi. No, they're arguing about the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak minayin lebalchov shekona mashkon. Because Rabbi Yitzchak says, how do I know that a balchov becomes the owner of the mashkon? That shenemar l'chati etzdaka, that it, the Torah describes when you give the mashkon back to the person so that they could use it if they need it. It's a beged laila that they need pajamas to sleep in at night, and that's what you took as a mashkon, and you give it back to them, so that's a tzedakah that you're doing by giving back the mashkon. Well, wait a second. If I go over to you and I take your wallet out of your pocket and I take some money out of your wallet and I give it to an ani, they don't call me a bal tzedakah. They call me a ganav. No, I'm only a bal tzedakah if what I'm giving is mine. So I'm eno kona mashkon. If you're not kona the mashkon, tzedakah minayin lo. How could that be called your tzedakah? Ah, mikal bal chov shekona mashkon. So that's how we know that a bal chov is in fact kona mashkon. So you see that what Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about is Rabbi Yitzchak's din. That Rabbi Lazar disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak, says that no, you are not the owner of the mashkon. You're a shomer chinam of the mashkon, and as long as you're not posheya, it's not yours. It's not your business. As long as you weren't posheya, you're still owed all of your money. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, you've become the owner of the mashkon, which means you bear full responsibility for the mashkon. Just like if I'm the owner of something, if I own a car and it's parked in my driveway, and through no fault of anybody, a tree just comes down and lands in my car and smashes my car, I lose the money. I lost the car. Why? It wasn't my fault. Yeah, but it doesn't matter whether it was your fault. It's yours. So the Bal Chov is the owner of the mashkon in that if he loses it, he loses it. He's the one that loses all the money. So that would be the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, and that would be the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. But Rabbi Lazar says, no, you're just a shomer chinam, and therefore it's all about whether it's your responsibility or not. So as long as you aren't pasheya, you're not responsible for it, and you could still get paid. If you look at Tosfos, tzedakah minayin, delo mikri tzedakah elam kein mechsero mamon. Tosfos says that it's only called tzedakah when you lose money on something, when it's something that was your mamon that you lost out. And then the next small Tosfos, Mikan lebal chov shekona mashkon, says Tosfos nira de ein meschayev ba'onsin elavi kmo shomer sachar kenmuchsof perak u'umnin. You know, you would think bal chov shekona mashkon. So I gave an example. You have your car and your driveway, and the tree comes down. Says Tosfos, it's not quite that far. The bal chov's relationship with the mashkon would not make it that if there's, and this is the Tosfos we were referring to before, whether it's even true by yichiv onsin, would not make it to your responsibility for the mashkon to the point where even if it was an absolute owner, you'd be responsible for the mashkon. Not quite that far, but at least like a shomer sachar, at least for gneva v'aveda. So says Gemara, ooh, so now we want to suggest that this machlokes Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva about if you lose the mashkon, does the malva still get paid, that they're arguing about whether they hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Elazar does not hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Kiva does. Lemad Rabbi Yitzchak Tanaihi. So then we're trying to suggest that Rabbi Yitzchak is subject to Machlokas Tanaim. Vitizbra. Emer dam Rabbi Yitzchak Shemashkina Shalom B'Shasalva. Mashkina B'Shasalva Miyamar. No, Rabbi Yitzchak's whole din was derived from the phrase Luchati Yitzdaka. That was talking about, the Pasuk was talking about a Mashkon that's not B'Shasalva. But when the Mashkon is B'Shasalva, do we even find that Rabbi Yitzchak says his din at all? Ela Mashkina Shalom B'Shasalva Aso. You know what? If the Mashkon were happening, everyone would agree to Rabbi Yitzchak's din. But over here, over here we're talking about a Mashkon that is Bishas Halva, and it's not subject to Rabbi Yitzchak at all. So what, in fact, are Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva arguing about? So now we're about to suggest a third possibility of what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva are arguing about. But before we get to that third possibility of what they're arguing about, let's realize over here, what did we just say? That we have that the Gemara taught us, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, Bal Chov is Kona Mashkon. We learn it from the fact that the Pasuk says, "Ulchati atzedaka imenu koneo tzedaka minayin." So Tosus Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Ches suggests that the raya is that really could be docha the raya from the Pasuk, and you could say you could be mekayim the mitzvah of tzedaka when you return the mashkon for the person to use. But still, so it's not muchach necessarily that you're the owner of the mashkon. It says what's muchach that you're the owner of the mashkon is the beginning of the Pasuk. V'shachav b'salmaso uveirachecha. If he's not kona the mashkon, when the ani is mevarech you, then it's ribis dvarim. Meaning, if I'm giving you my mashkon, so you could be, if the malva, I the malva, give you back the mashkon, and it belongs to me, and I'm giving it to the ani to use, and he says, bless you, he gives me a bracha for it, so that's perfectly fine. I'm giving him something of mine, and he's blessing me in return. But if it's still his mashkon, and we have a loan agreement going on over here, he owes me $1,000, and he's not only going to pay me back the $1,000, but he's also being mevarech me. He's also giving me a bracha. So then it's ribis devarim. This is a very interesting halacha. You know, we normally think that it's normally always someone lends you a lot of money, so you want to praise him and say nice things, but that's an isser. That's called ribis devarim, that you're not allowed to go that far. That's what the Tshuvas Mincha Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman writes, that Achronim say that a person shouldn't say, the Lova should never tell the Malva Todai. He should never say thank you to the Malva because the Nisr of Ribis Dvarim. And so says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll say, Tiskel Mitzvahs. And that way they'll get around the issue of Ribis Dvarim. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says they have it backwards. Tiskel Mitzvahs is a bracha. That's a bracha. You're not allowed to give a bracha. That's what Tos says. Giving a bracha is Ribis Dvarim. Todai is a formality. That's just what you say. That's what all the poskim say. That you're allowed to say thank you because that's you say thank you even if someone barely did anything, if someone holds the door for you for a second, you say it's just a normal formality to say thank you. That wouldn't qualify as ribis dvarim. But if you're going to give someone a real bracha, that's going to be more problematic. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yaradea Simin Pei. Mechaber Sefer wants to write at the beginning of his sefer that those who lent him money, it used to be nowadays when people put out svarim, they don't ask for loans usually to put out the sefer, they ask for dedication. So the money is given and it's gone. So you know, but it used to be that people would ask for loans when they put out a sefer. So and then hopefully the sales of the svarim would pay would be able to pay back the loans. Nowadays we know better. We know that the sales of the svarim are never going to pay back the loans. So so Rav Moshe was asked if you're allowed to thank the people who lent you the money in the beginning of the sefer. So he says that you're allowed to say min hashamayim yivorach. That min hashamayim yivorach ploni, that he lent the money for the adfasa of the sefer. And he says, why? Isn't that a violation of being mevarech somebody, which is a violation of ribis devarim? So he says, no, you're not saying tiskel mitzvos. You're not saying that the person, that you're not giving the person a bracha. You're saying min hashamayim yivorach. That it happens to be that someone who, you're stating a fact, people who participate in Harbatzas HaTorah and who aid Harbatzas HaTorah are blessed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them bracha. So it's nothing to do with you giving them any bracha. That was Rav Moshe's kula in that circumstance. Okay, let's go vaitis. So says the Gemara now a third possibility of what this machlokas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Kiva is really all about. So the bottom line of the page from Dalar Mar Aleph, Ubishomer Ave. aveda kamiflagi. No, what they're really arguing about is what exactly is the status of someone who finds an aveda and he's guarding the aveda. De itmar, shomer aveda. Rabba omer kishomer chinam. Rabba holds that he only has a status of a shomer chinam. His level of responsibility for the aveda is only that of a shomer chinam. Rav Yosef omer kishomer sachar dami. And Rav Yosef says, no, he has the status of a shomer sachar. Why would he have the status of shomer sachar? No one's paying him to be shomer the aveda. So says Rashi, schar mitzvah. What makes him a shomer sachar? It's the schar mitzvah that Kodesh Baruch is paying him. Kodesh Baruch is giving him the schar for the mitzvah, and therefore, what does shomer aveda have to do with our case? Our case, you're watching a mashko, and it's not an aveda. You know who it belongs to. No, the point is that you're doing a mitzvah. So since you're doing a mitzvah, that makes you like a shomer sachar. So you bear that level of responsibility of a shomer sachar. So that's why Rabbi Lazar says that that's the machlokes Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Kiva. You lose the mashkon, so are you chayiv for the aveda? So if you hold you're a shomer sachar, you're chayiv for the aveda. But if you hold that you're a shomer chinam, you're pater for the aveda. So that's the din that it's a shomer sachar because of the schar mitzvah that you're going to get. So Frek Tosos Akash over here says Tosos Vim Tomer Darmin Brashara Hamudra Anah Mechavero. If let's say I have a neder anah, I'm not allowed to get any hanah from you. Mutter litkolot kias mitzvah. You're allowed to blow shofar for me on Rosh Hashanah. It's not called that I'm getting any hanah. Vamudra hanah min amayan. Mutter litbol bo tvila shal mitzvah. If I'm not allowed to get any hanah from a mayan, from a certain spring of water, I'm allowed to use that spring of water for tvila shal mitzvah. Why? Mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. The kiyum mitzvah that I'm getting is not considered a hanah. So frekt tosos, why not? We're just saying that the schar you get for a mitzvah makes you a shomer sachar. So how could it be that kiyum mitzvah is not considered anah? It's considered schar. V'amai, ha-mesani l'Rav Yosef, t'chashv li-bahachi, k'shomer sachar. According to Rav Yosef, that's enough to make you a shomer sachar. So says Tosos Yishlomar, t'shayni shomer aveda umashkon, t'kama pam sh'yisasek ba l'shotcha, l'tzorcha, l'tznia, yifter mi litinlo. Tosos says a very different assumption than Rashi, that the reason that a shomer aveda is a shomer sachar is not because of the schar that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you for the mitzvah. The reason you're a shomer sachar is because while you're doing the mitzvah, you're pater from giving a pruta la'ani. That's pruta d'Rav Yosef. You're pater from giving a pruta to an ani. If an ani were to come and ask for tzedakah at that moment, osig mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah. While you're engaged in the mitzvah, you're pater from doing another mitzvah. That's a great chiddush of the Ritva Masechta Sukkah. Not only potter from another mitzvah, it's aser to go do another mitzvah. Right? That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman held, that if you're in the middle of saying Kriya Shema and an ani comes and asks for tzedakah, that according to the Ritva, it's aser to give him tzedakah. You're not allowed to stop Kriya Shema. So I think they say Rav Shlomo Zalman used to line up, Rav Atella could tell us that he used to line up on his shtender in Shai Ches. He used to line up shkalim so that the ani could take it himself, and he wouldn't so he wouldn't have to stop in the middle of his davening to give. Meaning it wasn't I don't have to give. He came up with a plan that he'd be able to give tzedakah anyway. Of course, you have to be careful. Depending on your neighborhood, some money might come and just swipe all the shkum. But they didn't do that. But this is really a machlokas in the Gemara. Why is it that he has a status? That he has a status of a shomer sachar. It's a sugim ba bekama daf nun vav. Shomer aveda. Rabbi says it's shomer chinam. Rav Yosef and shomer sachar. So and Rabbi says shomer chinam because my hana kamati le. You're not getting any hana. Rav Yosef says k'shomer sachar. Bahi hana dlo bayel misvi le rifta la anya. The fact that you don't have to give money to a poor person while you're doing the mitzvah, that's what makes you a shomer sachar. And then there's another daya in the Gemara. Rav Yosef and shomer sachar. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes you do this mitzvah, it's your obligation, that's what makes you a Shomer Sachar. So it seems that Rashi is focused on that second day, Schar Mitzvah, whereas Tosus is more focused on the first day, that it's the Pruta La'ani. So Tosus says, yeah, the Pruta La'ani is something that you're actually going to save when you're constantly involving yourself in the Aveda. But if it's something that's a one-time mitzvah, Tkiya Shofar, so you could blow Shofar at a time where no Ani is going to have access to you, and It's not going to save you any money, and therefore it's not called that there's any hana'a from the mitzvah. What would be the nafkamina between those two deos in the Gemara? Chasam Sofer writes, nafkamina would be if he's a zakin ven lefi kvodo. Let's say you're a shomer aveda, but you didn't have to be shomer that aveda. A zakin ven lefi kvodo. It's beneath your dignity to pick up that aveda. Rav Zilberstein in Chashuk Echemet gives the example of a Rosh Yeshiva that found a bicycle in the middle, a tricycle or something, in the middle of the street. So zakin ven lefi kvodo, he's a chashver Yeshiva, he doesn't have to walk around the streets with a tricycle. But he decided that he was going to do it anyway. So he took the tricycle and he brought it to his apartment and he locked it up. And then the next morning comes out it was gone, but someone broke through the lock and they took it. So he wanted to know what his level of responsibility is. Is he chayiv? So that would be lechara be the nafkamina. So gnev vaveda shomer sachar is chayiv. So is he a shomer sachar? If you hold it's because of the shibud of the rachmana that the Torah is mechayiv you, so he's not chayiv anything. But if you hold that no, you're being mechayim a mitzvah, so prutad rav Yosef. So he is being mekayim a mitzvah. He may not have to be mekayim the mitzvah, but he's definitely being mekayim a mitzvah. Zilberstein points out, not so pasha that he's being mekayim a mitzvah. It's machlokas Rambam and Rush. When Zakin Ve'el Lefi Kvoda wants to go lefnim Yeshuras Hadin and return the Aveda, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch passes this way in Chosh Mishpah Reish Lamech Gimel that HaHolich B'Derech HaTova Yashar does lefnim Yeshuras Hadin is maksir the Aveda, even if it's Ein Lefi Kvoda, it's a wonderful thing. And therefore, you're definitely mekayim a mitzvah. But the Rush and the Ramah Paskins like this Rush says that Zakin Ve'el Lefi Kvodo it's usur for him to be Machzir the Aveda, that he has to watch the dignity of his station in life, and by walking around with something that's beneath his dignity, so that's a violation. So then it wouldn't even be a Kiyum Mitzvah. Then the Nafkamina would fall away. It wouldn't be a Nafkamina between the two Deos, because not only is it not a Chiyuv, it's not even a Nosek B'Mitzvah Patram in a Mitzvah where you could say that you're being Mekayim the Mitzvah at that time. So that's the issue of Zakein Ve'Eino Lefi Kvoda. Now there is a discussion even further. Someone who's a Shomer Mashko, and our Gemara is trying to suggest, he's like a Shomer Aveda because he's doing a mitzvah. What mitzvah are you doing when you're Shomer Mashko? What kind of mitzvah? Shomer Aveda, I'm doing mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So what kind of mitzvah am I doing by being Shomer Mashko? So you have to assume that when you take a Mashko and the person needed the money, so you did the mitzvah of lending him the money, and this is part of that process of lending a person money. So if you have a Gabbai Tzedakah, for example, that takes a mashkon. So says the Nesivus in the Biurim and Simanayin Beis, that would be different. He says a Gabbai Tzedakah is not your personal mitzvah. No one has an obligation to be a Gabbai Tzedakah. You have an obligation to lend people money, you have an obligation to give Tzedakah, but there is no obligation to be a Gabbai Tzedakah because then the whole world would have to be Gabbai Tzedakah. And that's not, so that we would not call a Shomer Mashkon. By a Gabbai Tzedakah, says the Nesivus, we would not consider a Shomer Mashkon to be an Osik B'mitzvah while he's being shomer on the mashkon as a gabay tzedakah. Okay, says the Gemara further now. So lemad Rav Yosef tanaihi. Maybe if what we're now suggesting is true, that the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva, when you lose the mashkon, can you still get paid? Is really the machlokas? They're really arguing in the same machlokas as Rabba and Rav Yosef, whether a shomer aveda is a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, and they're arguing that the same would be true about a shomer mashkon. So now we're suggesting that Rav Yosef is subject to a machlokas tanaim. So says Mar Lo b'shomer aveda dukalei alma islahu Rav Yosef. Maybe when it comes to a shomer aveda, everyone would agree to Rav Yosef. It's a shomer sachar. What are Rabbi Lozen and Rabbi Kiva arguing about over here? Fourth possibility. V'acha b'malvut sarich l'mashkon k'miflegi. Mar savar mitzvah ka'avid, umar savar lo mitzvah ka'avid. Yeah, it may be a mitzvah for me to take a mashkon when I lend somebody money because it's all part of the loan, or you know, which is a great mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah for me to take a mashkon when I need that mashkon? Meaning, I want that mashkon so I can use it, so that I can benefit from it. So is that called part of a mitzvah, or is that just my own selfish interests? So that's what they're arguing. When malvit sarich l'mashkon, do we assume mitzvah kavid or not? If you look at Rashi, Rab Lazar Savar in the first skinny line, Rab Lazar Savar, kivan ditzarech l'mashkon ein kan mitzvah, ulahana aso niskavein, you're doing it for your own selfish reasons, and therefore it's not a mitzvah, and memei levavi kishomer chinam, you become like a shomer chinam, and therefore, when it's nignav or nevad, It's not your responsibility. Rabbi Kiva Savar Kivan de Poches Alav Vaholech Mitzvihi Vlavi Lavel Shomer Sachar. And Rabbi Kiva would say, no, since you're still doing the guy a favor by taking that mashkon, because as you use that mashkon, it's being deducted, your benefit from the mashkon is being deducted from the amount of the chov. So that's also part of a mitzvah, and therefore you have a din of a Shomer Sachar, and you bear a level of responsibility for that mashkon. If you look at Tosos, Tosos points out, B'malvat Tzarek L'mashkon, that Pirush B'kuntros L'shtameh Shomer that you're using it and it's being deducted from the amount of the chov. And Rabbi Nachanan says, no. Tzarek L'mashkon doesn't mean I need it to use for myself. Tzarek L'mashkon means I refuse to lend you the money without the mashkon. That's what Tzarek L'mashkon is. So says Tosas, come on. Does that mean that I'm not doing a mitzvah just because I have in my head that I don't want to lend you money unless I have some security? No, it's still a mitzvah to lend the money. So that's hard to understand, Tosfos says. Hard to understand the shita of Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, so far what did we do? We had the chiddush of Shmuel, that if you take a mashkon and then the mashkon gets lost, that's it, you lost everything. You lost the entire loan. We tried to suggest that Shmuel was the subject of the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Kiva, but then we suggested three alternative explanations of the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Kiva. Now we're going to move on to say, you know what? There's a different machlokas Tanaim, which may be arguing about Shmuel's very din. Lema ketanaim. Maybe Shmuel's din is subject to the following machlokas Tanaim. Hamalves chaver al mashkon v'nichnas shmita. Let's say I lend you money, you give me a mashkon, and shmita comes and goes. So normally shmita cancels out every loan. So afal pi sheino shava el palga. Even though the mashkon is only worth $500, the loan was for $1,000. Eino meshamei divrim Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says shmita does not cancel the loan. One of the exceptions to the halacha of shmita's ksafim is when you're malvah l'mashkon. Whenever there's a mashkon, shmita does not cancel the loan when one is malvah l'mashkon. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer im haya mashkano keneged chovo eino meshamei v'imlav meshamei. No, if the mashkon is worth the entire value of the chov, then shmita doesn't cancel the loan because you're already toface it. But when it's not worth the value of the chov, shmita will be meshamei. My eino meshamei to kamatanakav. What does Tanakama mean when he says Shmita won't cancel the loan? Ile mekenegdo, if he means it won't even cancel the value of the mashkon, Mechal Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Savar kenegdo nami mishamet, that makes it sound like Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds that even the value of the mashkon Shmita will cancel. Elam ha'itofes mashkon, then what's the value of taking a mashkon if Shmita is going to cancel the loan anyway? Elav kineged kulo. No, what they're arguing about is the mashkon's worth $500, the loan was worth $1,000. Does Shmita cancel the other $500, or does Shmita do nothing because the mashkon is considered as if it's the whole thing? But the Shmuel kamifugi. That's exactly they're arguing about Shmuel's din. Do we view the mashkon as if it's kineged the entire chov, even though the reality is that it's not worth the entire chov? Says Gemara, lo. Liolam kenegdo. No, really, the whole discussion is only about kenegdo. It's only about what the mashkon is actually worth. Ubaha kamiflagi. Tanakama savar kenegdo. Rabida nasi savar kenegdo nami mishamet. Tanakama holds that kenegdo it's not mishamet. Whatever the mashkon is worth, shmita is not going to cancel. Just that amount that it's worth. And Rabida nasi holds, even what the mashkon is worth, Shemitah is going to cancel. Shemitah cancels the entire loan. Then what's the benefit of having a mashkon? With kamar the ma'itavus le'mashkon, the zikaron devarim bi'alma. You know why you have the mashkon? As a zikaron devarim, as a way to remind you that there is a chov. But eino chinami, it doesn't help as far as the dinim of Shemitah are concerned. So hadra lach shvus adiyanim, we now move on to the seventh parak of Masechah Shvus. So says the Mishnah, kol ha'nishban shebetorah nishban v'lo meshalmin. Generally, shvus in the Torah, shvur da'araisa, are nishba'in v'lo meshalmin. You take a shvua and therefore you don't have to pay. But ve'elu nishba'in v'notlin. There are five examples that we have that midrabanan, you could take a shvua in order to get paid. And they are hasachir, v'anigzal, v'anechbal, v'shekenegdo chashal shvua, v'chen v'nialpin kaso. Five examples. Tosfos points out it's a little bit strange that we give five examples because l'chora there are many more examples of nishba'in v'notlin that midrabanan you would have to pay that the Tana is not mentioning over here. Hapokemis ksubasa. Erech Midah Shipurua, Nefrash Shalom Befanav, Nifrim Nechasim Shabbat Nechse Yisov. All those things are also cases where you're Nishba Vinotel. Or the Gemara in Ksubis Tafayim Tes, a Motzi Otzalos on Nechse Yishto. A person spends money on Nechse Yishto to improve them. Yishava Kama Hotzi V'yitol. He has to swear how much he spent, and then he'll get reimbursed. Why don't those get listed? But Kamukuf Yudalid, Hamakir is Kelev Usvarav Biaracher, Yishava Kamahotzi, V'yitol. Why isn't that on the list? So Tos says, and don't tell me Tana V'shayir, that once I have a whole bunch of things that are not on the list, you could just say, oh, so we left off certain items from the list, because whenever it says Ve'elu, it means specifically these. So there are a number of approaches in the Rishonim. Tos suggests that we're only listening those dinim, that the reason that Rabbanu were Misakin the Shvuah for the Notel is because the Omid Kenegdo is not able to take the Shvuah. Like a Gazlan, a Nigzal, a Chovel, a Nechbal, they're not Neman in the Shvuah. That's what we're limiting our Mishnah too. Other Rishonim have different approaches as to why it is that we limit the list in the Mishnah. But Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the elaboration of the Mishnah on each of these five cases.